Welcome back to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. This is Art Bennett. You're listening on WST, 1120 AM. We're talking with Father Richard Gill on the topic. The topic is suffering. Yeah, what about suffering in our lives? It's something none of us can totally escape. No, it's something we're always tempted to want to escape. Father Richard is helping us understand its role of our life. Well, let me just ask this. Is all suffering created equal? So obviously there's a nobility, and it's part of love, really. I think Christ is showing us it's a part of love. It's a part of life. It's something that can be transformed. But is all suffering created equal? So if I'm suffering, does that mean I'm doing better? Does that mean I'm growing in the spiritual life?
No, I don't think the mark of growth in the spiritual life is the amount that you suffer. It's
I'm glad to hear that.
I think it's deeper than that. I think there's a suffering that we have to embrace with great love and real union and imitation with Christ. But I think there's another kind of suffering that we impose on ourselves, which is, to put it bluntly, useless. It's not God's fault. It's not God's will. And it's the kind of suffering that doesn't do us any good. No merit in it. There's no spiritual growth that comes from it. And this might be a good bit of the suffering that many of us go through, and we've got to be very careful that we don't bring this self-imposed suffering on ourselves. And I'm talking about, well, really three kinds that I see in a lot of people. And one is a certain victim mentality, which I think is very common today. It's very much bred by our culture and our society. Everybody in some way is a victim, and we like to identify ourselves as victims. When we get into some kind of problems or trouble, we're always looking for somebody else to blame for it. And everything that goes wrong with my life is somehow somebody else's fault. And we tend not to take responsibility, even for our own choices and situations. And we're always looking for a scapegoat, so we can feel a little bit better about our situation. This kind of thinking is really counterproductive to any spiritual growth, because what happens is it just breeds in us a lot of resentment and grudges and malcontent feelings, and it doesn't help us grow at all. It's not a cross of Jesus Christ. It's not helping us shoulder the cross of Jesus Christ. It's creating ones that are artificial and don't help at all.
So setting myself up as a victim, wallowing in my victimhood, that ain't helpful. That ain't going to get us where we want to go. In fact, it's 180 degrees from that, it sounds like.
That's right. These are the things that come from our egotism and our pride and maybe our vanity. No, sometimes our sensuality feeds this a lot. It just turns us against other people. Whereas authentic suffering that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ, it helps us love better. No, and take it with a great peace of soul. What you find in people that have a victim mentality, they're filled with all this acid and anger and bitterness, and there's no love there at all. Mm. There's no love there. At best, there's mere resignation, and kind of a stoic resolve to get through all of this. It doesn't lead to growth or love.
So maybe that's one of the ways we can kind of distinguish this. If there's love and growth involved as opposed to victimhood, then maybe we're on the right track. What's another aspect? What's another type of suffering that is anti-productive, anti-helpful?
Well, I think there's quite a tendency today for people to have a fantasy view of human life, a little bit too romantic a view, that life is beautiful, it ought to be that way, and maybe that gets bred in us by Hollywood and the entertainment industry and television. Maybe we've read too many romance novels. Maybe we've watched too many movies. And life's just not that way. We are not ready when life has tragic turns and twists that are hard. You know? And we seem to think that we ought to be able to go on a smooth path. It's very interesting, recent polls and people asked when they're young or even people are in a lower economic scale. People are very optimistic when they're asked if they think they'll be wealthy in the future if they'll be rich. Huge number of people, you know, say that they expect to be rich. No, they have that kind of rosy view of life. No, now, you know, we want people to be ambitious and we want people to be optimistic and have a positive view of life. That, insofar as it's that, it's good. But I think people have very, very high expectations about the kind of contentment that they'll get out of life. And they have those expectations on a very materialistic and human level.
So they have unrealistic expectations, which are naive. They don't get met, and boom, they're suffering. Is that, so this is the way we set ourselves up to be miserable.
That's right, because those expectations can't always be met. And real happiness and real joy is found in accepting the reality of my world and being grounded in that reality first. And every situation and every circumstance, every walk of life, people can be authentically happy, from the person who's at the top of the pinnacle economically and in terms of power and influence to the person who's at the bottom rung of the social ladder. Every single person can be happy. Happiness is something that's intangible, and it's in the heart of a person, and it's not something that's measured by economic factors or career factors. No, it's something much more interior and personal than any of that.
That sounds like this view of suffering is based on a kind of a radical and naive misunderstanding that sets us up. And this is not the kind of suffering that transforms us.
That's
this is closer. This is really suffering that's really a waste of time. What's the third one, Father?
I'd say the third one I'd identify would be self-pity. Self-pity, which is one of our favorite things. You know, most people love to feel compassion for themselves. And many people, it takes the form of being obsessed with their own weaknesses, with their sins, feeling sorry for themselves about the fact that I've got these faults and these defects and so on, and dragging themselves around constantly on that level, and never really taking the responsibility to grow and to do the things that they can do proactively, to grow in virtue, to grow in happiness, to improve the situation. I think another aspect of self-pity comes from we're constantly comparing ourselves with other people, constantly setting ourselves up against other people that we think have this or that quality or this or that possession or economic situation or career situation or this set of friends or they got this influence, and in comparison, I've got so little. And we can always find people that are better than us at certain things. We can always find people that have more than we do. Always find people that seem to have their act together better than we do, have fewer problems. And it's this constant comparing ourselves to others that keeps us from really exploring what that interior peace and the interior joy and happiness is really all about.
And it sounds like the three things you mentioned here, Father, and just to summarize, these are the anti-helpful ways of suffering. These are the sufferings that don't transform, and this is a lot of the misery of our life is based on these, the victim mentality, a fantasy view of our world, which disappoints us when it doesn't come true, and then self-pity. It sounds like a common theme of that is kind of obsessiveness with ourselves and maybe not a whole lot of room for Christ in there to transform that. We've been listening to Father Richard Gill talking to us about suffering, an unpopular topic, but a topic that we all struggle with. Father, I really appreciate your kind of clarifying the Christian view of suffering and also kind of warning us of ways not to suffer.
That's right. Thanks.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks for having me. God bless.
Yeah. Father Richard Gill is over at the Center for Family Development in Maryland, where you can find retreats and talks by Father Richard and other Legionaries of Christ. Let me give you that number, 301-365-0612. You've been listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls here on WUST, 1120 AM. This is sponsored by the Center for Family Development and Alpha Omega Clinic. Thank you very much for joining us.
You've been listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. This program has been brought to you by Alpha Omega Clinic and Consultation Services. Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls airs Monday through Thursday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. on WUST, 1120 a.m. and on the Internet at www.wust1120.com. If you'd like to help support this Catholic radio apostolate, your donations will be greatly appreciated. Please call 301-365-0612, extension 106, and have your credit card ready, or mail a check to the Center for Family Development, 7007 Bradley Boulevard, Bethesda, Maryland, 20817. Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, copyright 2003, Alpha Omega Radio. Thanks for listening. Depression, anxiety, addiction, isolation, anguish. These don't have to be part of 21st century life or a part of your life. The Alpha Omega Clinic and Consultation Services offers counseling to individuals and families. The faculty and staff are qualified professionals who integrate their Roman Catholic faith with the best of psychology. Here at the Alpha Omega Clinic, we believe that Christ is never far from family life or from our mental health. How could one so close to us be far away in times of trouble? If you or your family requires counseling, consider the Alpha Omega Clinic and Consultation Services. We have two convenient and private locations in Bethesda, Maryland and Vienna, Virginia. The number is 703-847-9191. That's 703-847-9191. 947-9191.